This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, September 25th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Recharge debate gets charged. Newsom signs farm worker bills. And Thompson opines on RFK Jr. Water Board reacts to criticism over recharge. As California enters a new water year and eyes look to the skies for the next rains, groundwater recharge is on the minds of many. Concerns over the pace of permitting filled much of the discussion at a recent Ag Water Summit hosted by the Maddy Institute and the California Water Institute at Fresno State. Food and Ag Board Chair Don Cameron described obtaining state water board permits to divert water for recharge as being expensive, time-consuming, and taking a lot of energy. He said, quote, "We definitely need change," describing the board's sluggish progress. "Everything hits there and just gets stuck. It's like a black hole we can't get out of." That description is wildly inaccurate, according to Eric Ekdahl, the board's deputy director for water rights. In an interview with AgriPulse, Ekdahl said the board has processed nearly all temporary permits within 180 days, with many a couple of weeks. He explained that standard water right permits take much longer due to state legal requirements. The processes for hearing challenges to the applications and for environmental review can make it feel like a black box, he said. Ekdahl said the board is working to speed up the process by tapping into better accounting data. He also applauded the Department of Water Resources for functioning as a consultant, providing technical assistance to applicants ahead of time. You can read about the board's posting recharge fees and the AgriPulse West newsletter hitting inboxes this morning. Newsom signs farm worker bills. Governor Gavin Newsom traveled to Fresno yesterday, signing three bills aimed at protecting farm worker rights. He gave his approval to AB 2240, which opens temporary farm worker housing centers year-round. Labor groups were divided on the bill, with some opposing it over concerns of shifting funding away from other programs. Newsom's signature on SB 1105 means farm workers can use sick leave to avoid conditions with excessive smoke, heat, or flooding. The third bill, AB 3035, streamlines the approval process for farm worker housing in Santa Clara and Santa Cruz counties. None of the bills faced any other opposition, and farm groups did not take a position on those matters. Newsom described the legislation as investing in the well-being of farm workers and in California's success. Keep in mind, the big farm worker bill employers are watching is SB 1299. That bill would make it easier for farm workers to claim workers' comp for heat-related injuries. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. UC Davis licensed legacy strawberry varieties abroad. UC Davis has established new international agreements to license 15 legacy varieties of the university's specialty bred strawberries across the globe. Varieties developed at UC Davis encompass 60% of the world's strawberries. The move comes after UC Davis ended its relationship with licensee Eurosimilis, now adding varieties to the UK's global plant genetics and San Diego-based licensee Fresa Fortaleza. The program engages students and postdoc researchers while also addressing grower crop needs such as greater yield, flavor, adaptability, and disease resistance. UCANR releases first manual on U.S. olive oil production. UC Agriculture and Natural Resources published the first of its kind book called Olive Production Manual for Oil, as California olive growers compete with lower cost European products. The book covers some material specific to California and broadly for producers in the rest of the country. The California oil olive industry has grown rapidly over the last 20 years. USDA estimates California's oil olive production share of the state's overall olive production shifted from 10% in 2005 to more than 70% in 2022. Louise Ferguson, the manual's co-editor and a UC Davis Cooperative Extension pomologist, said in a press release that this is the first manual using data directly from people working with olives. The book also covers hand pruning, irrigation management, harvest timing, and orchard site selection. Ferguson urged growers to directly reach out to the manual's authors, most of whom are based in California. PFAS challenge for small drinking water systems, GAO says. The Government Accountability Office says a lack of expertise in rural water utilities is a major barrier for implementing EPA treatment standards for PFAS, called forever chemicals, due to their persistence in the environment. PFAS treatment implementation is consultant and engineer driven. Small systems may not have resources to hire consultants or engineers, according to a GAO report. Further, state officials were interviewed and said that EPA should develop guidance that is specific to small public water systems, as those systems are in greatest need of assistance. GAO estimates 77% of the public water systems in the six states I've surveyed haven't fully implemented a PFAS treatment method. The six states are Illinois, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Ohio, and Vermont. In April, EPA set a maximum containment level for six types of PFAS that public water systems will have to meet by 2029. Groups applaud Harris price gouging ban proposal. 68 academics in agriculture, labor, and faith organizations are backing Vice President Kamala Harris' proposal for a federal ban on food industry price gouging. As a part of her campaign, Harris has called for, quote, new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crisis and break the rules, though it's still unclear exactly what those rules would be. A letter signed by the academics and groups say existing laws are inadequate to protect U.S. consumers from unnecessary food price increases. While some state-level price gouging laws exist, the federal government can only currently act in wartime or, quote, extreme emergencies like the COVID-19 pandemic. Because there are so few corporations in any one sector, they no longer need to compete with each other for market share. Rather, they work in concert to limit supply and set prices, the letter says. Keep in mind, Republicans say Harris is proposing price controls, and food industry groups also have pushed back on her plan. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, September 25th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.